Lord, even as we come together to even hear your word, I pray that you will speak to each one of us. Even as the word is shared, Father Lord, let it be you speaking. Let it not be me speaking. Father Lord, the way we came is not the way we're going to go back. Thank you, Father Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Greet two people before you sit down, please. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you all. It's good to be back in church, but not back to the heat. Hallelujah. And then to come and hear that Sister Mary is leaving. What a wonderful testimonies. I'm sure if we gave her more time, she will have more testimonies. But my word for you, my sister, as you go, the burden on you has been your children. And the word that God says is, your children will not disappoint you. Amen. They shall fulfill their destiny, and there will be a joy unto your heart. Go with that confidence, and the Lord says, it is well with you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where do I start from today? Anywhere, I like that. Hallelujah. Today we're going to talk about something that has been laid on my heart. Past couple of weeks, I've been thinking about this, and the Lord says, a lot of events have moved it for me to speak about this topic. And it's very important in a season like this where we have a church coming from different angles, from different parts of the world, coming together, different cultures, different languages, but in one church, in one body of Christ. So what I'm talking about today, what I'll be sharing with you today, is communication in the Christian church. Communication in the Christian church. Are we together? Now, communication can be various forms. It can be internal and external. Am I correct? And external is going to be with unbelievers, isn't it? Internal is among ourselves. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I believe everybody knows what communication is, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know how to communicate. Are we together? I'm sure Sister Mary communicated her testimony to you very well. Hallelujah. So you're able to get something from it, isn't it? So, but for all intents and purposes, I'll define it. It's a process by which information is exchanged between individuals through a common system of symbols, signs, or behavior. Okay? Symbols, signs, or behavior, you're communicating to somebody. So, but our text today is taken from Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 17. If you have your Bibles, please open that text. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 17. And Brother Eric, if you can read that for us, please, loud and clear. It's a story that we all know, but we're going to bring points from it that will benefit all of us in this place. Hallelujah. Please go ahead.
Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, If they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart.
Go on 17 to 17.
Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be a spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Derek. God bless you. This is a common passage that we have learned in the Bible, that we grew up knowing about, the story of Moses and how Aaron came into the picture. Okay? Now, I have a couple of takeaways from there. One takeaway that I get there is that God is interested in communication. It's a relational thing. Moses was to go and meet Pharaoh. And God told Moses what to go and tell Pharaoh. But Moses had a lot of excuses. Okay? But God had to bring Aaron to be able to communicate that message to Pharaoh. Are we together? Now, God could have just said, Moses, you're out of it. I'm not going to use it again. But the most important thing that God wanted was that message to go across as is intended to go to Pharaoh. That's number one. So God is interested in that. Are we together? Because when he created Adam and Eve, it was all about communication with him. Okay? You go down, we had 12 disciples. Am I correct? But yet, among the 12 disciples, who wrote most of the new generation, New Testament? Paul. Was Paul a disciple? Paul was not a disciple. So why did Paul come into the picture? Paul came into the picture so that he'll be able to communicate to who? Gentiles. And then Paul himself was what? A lawyer. In so-called and modern-day terms, he was a learned person. He knew how to interact with the Gentiles. So that part is very important to God. That's number one point. Number two point, communication is enhanced with power and display. God knew that Moses could have gone and told Pharaoh, let my people go. We forever have heard him. No. But there were so many signs and powers that followed it before Pharaoh agreed for them to go. Are we together? The same thing, we're communicating something today. When people can visualize it, they will believe it. Are we together? If they can't see it, they won't believe it. I have slides up here. You're looking at my slides, isn't it? Because some of you might not understand my Nigerian English. But you can follow up there. Am I correct? Visual matters. When God's power is displayed in the church, someone does not need to even preach. Are we together? So communication also comes with that visual display. And that's why sometimes we need to pray for the power of God to work among us. Are we together? Number three, communication requires training. Hallelujah. The way I spoke as a child is not the way I spoke as an adult. What changed? I was trained, isn't it? Even when you get older, you require training to communicate to people. Are we together? You find out in Exodus 34, 29 to 35, and I'll read that maybe quickly. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation, and returned to him, and Moses talked with them. This was the same Moses that could not speak, but he got his voice. What happened? He must have watched Aaron and see what Aaron was doing, and then he started speaking. Are we together? The same thing with Peter. When Peter at the Pentecost, Peter also came out and stood firmly and gave a message. A common fisherman with the power of the Holy Spirit. When you go to our secular worlds, am I correct? Sometimes if you are marketing division and you have a good company, they'll send you for training, isn't it? Am I correct? Go and see our politicians. They go for training, isn't it? They know how to relate the message. They know how to communicate the message. Believe me, it's not only the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can teach you, but you too have to go and train yourself. If it means me going to go and learn Swahili to get to my Kenyan people, I'll have to go and learn it. I have to go and train myself. Are we together? Don't ever stand up and say you're perfect in communication. That's your downfall. Are we together? Even the household of God, we know how to, we have to train ourselves how to communicate. I have to know how to communicate to whether it's my Nigerian brother, my sister, Indian sister, or my South African brother. I have to learn. Because we're coming from different cultures. Colossians 4, 3 to 6 says, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God will open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. How I ought to speak. I can spend 2 hours here and nobody will get anything from me. Are we together? I can speak all sorts of doctrines and speak up and down. But sometimes you can speak for 15 minutes and God will speak through. Hallelujah. Are we together? So it requires training and dependence on the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Paul says, to make it clear to the people there. Communication, another point, is about connecting. I have to be able to connect with you. If I don't connect with you, you will not get my message. Jesus went and met the Samaritan woman. He was able to connect with her. If he could not connect with her, she would not have heard his message. Jesus was able to go and meet Zacchaeus, and he connected with Zacchaeus. That's what the message was passed across to Zacchaeus. Jesus was a perfect communicator. Within the church, have you been able to connect with people? It's not only praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord, sister. I have to connect with you to be able to get my message across to you. Hallelujah. Are we together? Number 5, communication is not a one-way affair. It involves a lot of listening, isn't it? James 1:19 says, so then, my brethren, let every man be swift to what? Swift to what? To hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Most times we don't listen. And sometimes we don't listen, especially to our children, isn't it? Because when I'm talking about the church, I'm not only talking about the brother, I'm talking also your home. Your home is also a mini church, isn't it? Among spouses, among children, it's all about listening. Number 6, just going quickly because I don't have enough time. Salvation is through communication. And that's why it's key. The children of Israelites were rescued from the Egyptians was through communication because there was a message that came out. If you go to the Great Commission, in Matthew 28:19-20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, isn't it? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them teaching them. I don't think you go and teach somebody by keeping quiet, do you? You have to communicate to them. Hallelujah. Those are my takeaways from that chapter. But we're going to go forward. We have what we call poor communication that we practice. And what does poor communication breed in the household of God? Please, can you just play a video for me? I just watched that. We know what happened of recent, isn't it? What finished? The Olympics, isn't it? Maybe you did not catch that at the beginning, but I will explain these pictures to you. What was that? That was what? A relay, isn't it? 4x1 relay, isn't it? And we have told in a relay, you have to hand it to somebody else. Am I correct? Someone is moving, and you have to hand it the baton to somebody else. Sister Mary is going now. I hope she's handing the baton to somebody else. When people were shouting hallelujah, some people were really shouting, I don't want to see people out of church. Even if she's not here, you must be in church. Hallelujah. The baton has passed to you. All of you that are coming with Sister Mary, make sure you continue coming to her. She has passed the baton to you. Amen. That's the spirit. Now, when you do a relay, you collect the baton. Am I correct? I think there's one like this and there's another one like this. I might be wrong for my... At least, but that's what you do. But in that video, I think the beginning was not there. But I like that picture that's there. That's a picture of defeat or failure. What team is that? Have they ever missed the finals several years? They have never missed. But this year they missed. Why? If you watch the first part of that video, the person, when he was given it, the person had left the lane. You have a part. They didn't communicate. And they were disqualified. Was it only US? Which other country also had the same issue? Jamaica. That's why you saw people that were normal champions, Canada, celebrating. Hallelujah. Lack of communication can defeat us as a church. Hallelujah. Number one, it creates conflicts and breeds poor relationship. You go to marriages, what creates bad relationship is lack of communication. People cannot talk to one another, understand what another is saying. In ministries, people don't get along. Don't tell me it's a household of God. Even the household of God, people don't get along in ministries, isn't it? Because of what? Because of lack of communication. He said something, or I didn't say something. That's where the problem starts. It creates wrong assumptions. Number two, people don't communicate. People just make the assumptions. It's when you speak, isn't it, that people will be able to get what is right. It brings ineffectiveness. Am I correct? Ineffectiveness. Now I'm talking within the church. If I don't communicate to you, you will not get anything on Friday service. Am I correct? And you might say, oh, my time, I better be spent somewhere else. But I have to be effective for you to be able to understand what I'm saying. The last point I also have there, it brings lack of accountability. Am I correct? For one to be accountable, you have to be able to communicate to people. You give your son money. You tell him, oh, this is what you ought. You have to come back and say, hey, son, what did you do with it? And he has to be able to account for it. God has given us an instruction. He has communicated to you. Parents, you account for your children on that last day. Am I correct? The children that have entrusted into you. Husbands, you account for your wife and your family. Praise the Lord. Are we together? So, how do we succumb this? I won't just come and tell you this poor communication. How do you succumb it? Number one, when we're communicating, let's find common ground. All right? Let's find common ground. We can come from different parts of the world. We have one common ground, the Bible. Am I correct? And when you're finding common ground, you don't alienate people. Don't leave people out. Jesus could have alienated the Samaritan woman, and you have lost a whole village. Are we together? Don't alienate people. Don't alienate people. Have common ground. When I was on holiday, and just put up a slide for me. There's a statement that I went to church, and I read it, and I was thinking of our church. And it says this. It was said this, as we inevitably grow older, we have to intentionally grow the church younger. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? As we grow older, by shows of hands, okay? If you're 45 and above, raise your hands. 45 and above. Majority of the church at that age and above. Our body is not getting any younger. Are we together? And as body is not getting younger, who is going to fill those shoes in the church? The church is declining worldwide because we have not been able to get younger people into the church. Are you with me? We cannot afford to alienate the youth in the church. We have to make a conscious effort of bringing them in. Because one thing or the other, we're going to grow old. We're going to die. The Western nations have forgotten about that. That's why there's nobody in church. Are you with me? It's very, very important. Now, those of you that are, say, 45, those that are 45 or younger, you have a task to step into these shoes. Are you with me? If the old ones say they don't want to, fight with them. I want it. Are you serious? Are you with me? Step up to that responsibility. It's very important. Hallelujah. I pray that the Lord will help us. Whatever is required for us to communicate and to engage our youth, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I say find common ground, when someone finishes talking to you, you should be able to give him hope. You should be able to give him help. All the people that Jesus met, they were able to get some amount of hope and help from him. Are we together? I don't want to have a conversation with you and I go about licking, feeling empty. Am I? Are you with me? There are some people that you have a conversation, you feel totally drained. Am I correct? But there are some people that you go and you learn new spiritual things. You learn new dimensions. Are we together? That is effective communication. When a brother comes and says, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, brother, this is what the Lord has done for me. This and this. This is what I saw in that scripture. He's taking something away from that conversation. Are we together? That's how we grow and build ourselves together. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. Number two, keep it simple. it simple. There's no need to go over something else. If there's a portion of scripture, this is what the law says. The Holy Spirit will work in that person to enter it. Don't overcomplicate things. Sometimes we say testimonies. I was blind, but now I see. But sometimes we want to embellish it, isn't it? Keep it simple and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Keep it direct. Don't go around meandering. When it's time for you to call for prayers, you say you have 5 minutes, isn't it? Or 10 minutes. Please keep to that 5 or 10 minutes. It's not by how much I speak that someone will get it. It's how the Holy Spirit goes. Sister Mary was here, I think Pastor told her. 10 minutes, isn't it? But believe me, what I got in those 10 minutes was excellent. I could see where God has helped someone. I can see where someone has been dedicated in the household of God and where it is. I love that testimony. 10 minutes, not more than that. If you're called to church, please keep to your time and let God do the rest. Hallelujah. I don't need 2 hours to tell you this message. I'll use whatever is within my time. I'll leave the rest to God. God has spoken it. You handle the rest. Hallelujah. And God will help us. When I say directly, we have low context communication. And I'll explain the two. Low context and high context. Low context is direct. High context, the person has to go back and figure out what you're saying. Am I correct? Okay, let's go to the home. You go home and you see a dustbin. Stinking and has a son. You call me a guy, a man will come to your house and say, this dustbin is stinking. And what he means is the dustbin is stinking. Am I correct? You go home with your wife. Your wife says, this dustbin is stinking. What does your wife mean? Empty the dustbin. The wife means empty the dustbin. And if you're a smart man, you have deciphered that message, isn't it? You go to different cultures. Americans speak directly. The British will go. I can remember a story. I will share it. Our ex-president, he was not a corrupt person. Like, he always has this anti-corruption stand. But he had a medical challenge for the 8 years he was president. So he was always going to the UK where his doctors were for treatment. And one of those is after he had gotten better towards his last tenure, he had a meeting, and he had a meeting with Prince Charles, now King Charles, isn't it? And King Charles said, they just greeted, he said, do you have a house here in the UK? You know, like, how's your house, or do you have a house in the UK? And the president said, no, I don't have any house here. The only house I have is the one that I had when I was, built when I was in the military, this and this. And he came out and he gave a press conference that he's incorruptible, he only has one house. But was that what Prince Charles was saying? Prince Charles was saying, come, you're here too often. Why aren't you in your country? Are you getting it? But that is the things that you have to be able to read in between the lines. And people speak from different parts. And that's why I gave it from the family part and even from the secular part. Are we together? Sometimes you might have to go deeper to say what the person is saying. But sometimes you just need to keep it simple. Our sisters, please keep it so simple. You want him to carry the trash, tell him, say, take out the trash, my love. Hallelujah. God will help us. David, when Nathan came to meet David, isn't it? He had to paint a different picture. Lamb, whatever it is. Because he was talking to a king. Imagine you had come to a king and told him, say, hey, this is what you did, this and this. You wouldn't have gotten the response. Either David would have denied it, or David would have taken him out. Am I correct? But he came and he allowed David to reach the conclusion himself. That way David tied himself. So there are some times that you do that. Men, I know communicating is difficult. But please, speak. Speak. That just reminds me. We didn't communicate the announcement properly. Our apologies. Tomorrow, The focus for the men's meeting tomorrow is men's health. Are you getting me? It's men's health. Our doctor in the house is coming to address issues about men's health. Are we together? Praise the Lord. We're all men. Address them, ask questions. Please communicate on that day. You have it free of charge. You're not paying, your insurance card is not being used. You're not paying for consultancy. Hallelujah. So please come tomorrow. Invite people to come together. It's going to be about the men's health. Okay? God will help us. And as we get older, as I told you, our bodies are changing. And we have to take care of it. Hallelujah. Are you with me, please? Men, are you with me? Please. Of recent, we have had a lot of incidents. I've heard a lot of people just collapsing and passing away for no reason. Are you getting it? So we need to take care of our bodies. So please come tomorrow. You will learn something from there. God bless you. Number three, we have to be intentional. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to hearers." When I'm speaking to you, I have to make an intention. I want to bless you. I want to add to you, not to take away from you. Are you together? Matthew 12:36-37 says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Hallelujah. So when you're speaking, please be intentional. Don't speak out of turn, okay? Number four, which is very important, communicate in love. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head of Christ." Church, we need to speak in love with one another. Even if I'm going to say no, I won't tell you no. Even with our children, isn't it? You have to do it in love. There's a feedback mechanism that they used to use in the secular world, a sandwich method. You tell the good before you come and put whatever is inside, isn't it? Especially those that are in position of leadership. You know, have to know how to be able to speak in love. Even if a child gets something wrong, you say, "Oh, thank you." Then you say, "Oh, this is this." Don't be harsh because you're in leadership position. Don't be harsh to your fellow brother. You need to do everything in love. Even if your brother has gone wrong. Are we together? Church is very important. Very, very, very important. A lot of times the problem we have is that we're not speaking out of love. We're speaking out of anger. We're speaking out of our own ego. But we need to speak out of love. We need to speak that, "Oh, I want the best from that person." Number five, be honest. Be honest. Be honest. It's very important for you to be honest in your communication. Let your yes be your yes, and let your no be your no. A lot of the times, okay, let me put this way. One of the most trusted professions in life, which one is the most trusted profession? You think it's the most trusted profession? Trusted professions. You'll be nurses, isn't it? Nurses, to a certain extent, they're very, very straightforward and honest. Sometimes they're too frank. Sister Elizabeth Mano, nurses will tell you as it is, isn't it? They'll tell you as it is. And because they relate with you, they can be close to you. But then there are some professions that they don't even tell you as it is. Number one profession, which one is it? I won't say that. You say lawyer, I'm not agreeing to that, I'll be in trouble. The one I'm happy to say is politicians. Hallelujah. Politicians, their yes is not their yes, their no is not their no. Am I correct? Politicians are like that. They can lie. They can say anything. Anything they want you to hear. In Numbers 30:32, it says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord, forswears on oath to bind by himself some agreement, he shall not break the word. He shall do according to all the proceeds of his mouth. In those days, we had the Pharisees and Sadducees. The thing that brought out, let your yes be your yes. Don't swear on any other thing. In those days, they say you shall not swear by the name of the Lord. Am I correct? And I hope you don't swear by the name of the Lord. But the Pharisees found a way to circumvent that. They will swear on their dog. They will swear on their house. And they will come back and say, no, I did not swear on the name of the Lord. But meanwhile, they didn't have intent of holding to what they said. Are we together? The inbreeding in the church, the problems you have in the church of Christ is because people cannot be saying, let your yes be your yes. That's why you end up having a lot of political issues in the church. Are you with me? Please, in our dealings, let our yes be our yes. Let's be honest with one another. One thing I will say, they might hate you for your honesty or the standard you have, but they will respect you for it. Are we together? With one another, let's be open, let's be direct. Brother, I cannot come for this meeting because X, X, and Y. Don't go and paint a different picture. Brother, this is the issue I'm facing. Leader, this is the issue I'm facing. KSL, this is the issue I'm facing. Now, let me tell you something. In the place of your honesty, you will find your solution. Are you together? Sometimes the answer is there waiting for you. But because you cannot be honest to speak about it, your help will not come. I'd be wondering, why didn't he speak up? Why didn't he speak up? My brother might be in need, but I wouldn't know. Because why? He was not honest about his situation. Are we together? Let's be open. One. I'm not trying to say you should come and be open to everybody, but there are circles of friends. You have KSL, you have different interactions in different places. Allow people to know where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're struggling with anything, please be honest. Now, the caveat about honesty is this. As a church, we cannot afford to be judgmental. Are you with me? How can this brother do this? I expected so much more from him. You don't know his journey. You don't know what he's going through in life. But sometimes we pretend to be more righteous than the others. And we tend to bring ourselves a bit more judgmental. Please, let's look into this. Now, this is a message. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about us. Leadership, church members, everybody, let's not be judgmental. People are in different paths. People have different concerns. People have different worries. If you don't have an issue that somebody has, thank God for it. Isn't it? It's by the grace of God. But if you look at yourself that you could have been that person's shoe, you'll be able to empathize. Are we doing? Sometimes people do not, people just lack understanding. Are you with me? You can't. With our children, we cannot be judgmental. What they're going through is different from what we're going through. Are we together? Parents, are we together? Anyone that has brought up teenage children, you know what I'm talking about. You will learn how to communicate without being judgmental. I'll give an example. I need to talk to you. I pick up my phone and call. Am I correct? In the new generation now, how do they communicate? Chatting, isn't it? I have big thumbs. To type is difficult for me. So I'd rather just pick up and call you. And I was talking about someone time, and he was saying, yeah. I said, why did I text? I said, text and call you. Which one is faster? You know? But that is the life. That is where they find themselves. Am I correct? Just a little bit of digression, but as we're talking about that social media issue, you have to know how to engage a new generation. When the Bible says, go ye therefore into the world and make disciples of all nations, the market is no longer the office. The market is where? Are you with me? I can write an epistle and send it to the youth now. They won't read it. I can give them a 10 minutes video clip. They'll read it and they'll get the message. Are we together? Now, there's something that the Bible says. It said before Jesus comes, the world would have been spread to all parts of the world. Am I correct? Now, does all parts of the world have a copy of the Bible? Am I correct? They don't. But social media has made the Bible and the Word available at the various platforms. Am I correct? That's why I know that Jesus is coming soon. Are you with me? The Word is God is true. Jesus will not come until the Word has been preached all parts of the world. Isn't it? Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't it? It's getting there. Are we together? So what am I trying to tell you guys? The marketplace is not only physical. It's also in that space. And the second we let go of that space, something else is also grabbing it. Am I correct? There's a lot of things out there that is grabbing it and polluting our children's mind. That's why I says, parents, we need to have restrictions for our children on some of those things. Okay? Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So I'll just recap on those things that I said about communication for us. Find common ground, number one. Don't alienate people. God did not alienate the Samaritan woman. Keep communication simple, please. What you mean, say what you mean and let it go, okay? Don't go round and round in circles. Three, be intentional in your discussion. Look to bless somebody. Watch your words, what you say, how it will affect. Communicate in love, stay authentic in your relationship. Be honest. Hallelujah. And in conclusion, I'll say this. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Hallelujah. Let it be grace in our speech. Let it be seasoned with salt. Let it be taste. Let people be running to come back to you, want to hear what you have to say regards the word of God. And I believe, as I close, as we communicate better, the church will grow stronger. The ministries will grow stronger. The church itself, the body of Christ, will grow stronger. And once we're strong and we start communicating outside, souls will come in. Hallelujah. God bless us.
Hallelujah. Amen. I will start from the good practice. I will keep this roundup simple. And that is why I'm going to use that last scripture that brother used. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The simple thing is, when you do this, it helps you to navigate every diverse situation. Because you keep it simple. By choosing your word wisely, we help you to consider the need of others. And I pray as we communicate, as we pass messages to others, that Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's be on our feet. I want you to pray and tell God, Lord, help me to always keep my conversation to be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Just pray to God that every utterance, whatever you are going to say, will always come from Him. That the Spirit of God will always lead you. The Spirit of God will always direct you. With this good communication, you'll be able to pass across exactly what God wants you to say. By listening to others, you'll be able to know how to respond, how to navigate, how to manage words, how to manage people. Good communication will help you. Tell God, ask God, Lord, let your Spirit dwell in my life. Let your Spirit lead me. Let your Spirit, let it give me the right path, the right utterances. So shall it be. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you and bless your holy name for your message that we have heard today. We thank you, we glorify your holy name for this message of communication that you have passed across to us. Father, we pray that you continue to help us to be a good communicator in your vineyard in the mighty name of Jesus. Every word that we have heard today, they will manifest in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. We bless your holy name. We thank you for your Son that you have used for us this day. More anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. So that we can hear more from him in Jesus' name. Bless him, bless the work of his hand, bless his family in Jesus' name. And bless the church of God as well in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we depart here, Father, we pray your presence shall go with us in Jesus' name. Tomorrow morning, excellent men will be here. Father, let your presence be ahead of us here in Jesus' name. In the evening, reign among the women in the mighty name of Jesus. And for the rest of the year, all our programs are in your hand. Take full control in Jesus' name. And let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for our members that have not yet to return from vacation. Continue to be with them in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Shall we jointly share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Newcomer, please, just outside this door. A couple of our brethren will be there to receive you. And they will tell you more about our service. Newcomer, outside the front door. Thank you. Do have a wonderful week ahead.